Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome to this week's episode. I feel like I always say I'm so excited to bring on my guests, but this week I am genuinely very excited to introduce you guys one of my friends that I met over in Bali. So her name is Fran, and that's okay. Her full name. Do you even go by your full name ever?
Not really, not with friends.
Okay.
So
we're going to call her Fran. Okay. So her name is Fran, and we also met. So if you guys listened to the episode last week with Krista, Chris and I were talking about how we met at a Digital Nomad Girls luncheon in Bali, and that's actually where I met Fran too. And we got to travel through Bali together, and we went to Malaysia together and went to a really cool conference there and have kept in touch and everything. And we first bonded when we met because we both found out that we are from Ohio. And just when you meet someone who is from Ohio, when you're overseas on the other side of the world, it just kind of blows your mind. And you're like, well, I have to meet this person. Yeah, no one's from Ohio. So that was originally how we bonded. And then we both found out more about each other's story. And I love her story. I love what she's built for herself. She is 23 years old. Yes? 23?
Yes. Yeah. 23.
Yeah. We're the same age. We graduated the same year. And I can't wait for you guys to hear about everything she's done for herself in the past couple of years because it's super inspiring and hear more about where she's at right now. So, Fran, thanks so much for coming on. I'm excited to introduce you and talk about you to everyone more.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. That was such a good introduction.
So can you just kind of give us more detail into the life of Fran, more about like who you are, what exactly you do, when you started your whole digital nomad journey, location independent journey, and yeah, just tell us more about your background.
Okay. So right now I help startups and entrepreneurs build sales funnels in their business. The way I started out, so it kind of goes back to when I was in college. So I have my degree in theater technology. And so I was super into theater pretty much my entire life. And I decided that I was going to study it in college. And then in college, I decided that I wanted to go more to the technical side and work as a stage manager. And a stage manager is basically the person that oversees all of the technical elements of a production. So they make sure that pretty much everything happens on schedule leading up to the show. And then they also run the performances every single day. It's a really, really huge job. And it's a massive responsibility. And it takes a lot of time. It's a really, really time-consuming career. So I studied that all the way through college. And around the last year of college, I started to kind of burn out because, well, first of all, when you are working towards a career in theater, it's really, really competitive. So I was working like three jobs, plus I was doing my studies in school because I wanted to gain all of this industry experience. And I was stage managing the shows that my school was putting on. And I was just so, so exhausted. And I also felt like I had more that I could have been giving. The stage manager is very much a managerial, logistical job. And there isn't a whole lot of creativity involved in it. You kind of sit back and you organize everything while everyone else gets to do all the fun stuff. So I really felt like there was more that I could be giving. And when I graduated from college, I was I was totally burnt out, but really the only thing that I knew how to do was work on shows. I was really, really good at working behind the scenes on productions, and there was really nothing else that I had any experience with, anything else that I could really do. So I took a job at an opera company, and it was like exactly what I had been working towards for the past 4 years. I was an assistant stage manager at an opera company in Pittsburgh. So on paper, everything was working out, but I was having this internal crisis of like, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want my life to be? So I started my job in Pittsburgh, and I immediately just started. It was such a struggle. I think I knew that I didn't really want to be there, so I wasn't really putting everything into my work, and I think a lot of my coworkers noticed, and I was just so unhappy. I would come home from work every day, and I would call my mom, and I would be like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know what I want. All I know is that this is not it. I didn't know what I wanted out of life, but I knew that the path that I was on right now was not the one that I wanted to be on. So I was also hustling on the side online because I wasn't making enough money in my opera job to actually cover my expenses. People in the performance art industry, especially early in their careers, do not get paid enough money. They get paid like barely anything. So I was hustling a little bit on the side to make some money. I was doing like translating because I also have a degree in French. And I was doing like search engine stuff. It was a really confusing job what I had. Yeah, so I think I started getting targeting Facebook ads for like digital nomads and remote work because I was also really, really interested in traveling. Really the only thing that I felt excited about at that point in my life was the idea that I really just wanted to travel the world and see the world. I had studied abroad in India my last year of college, and I really just got bit by the travel bug, and I got bit by the travel bug. I can't pronounce the word bug.
Travel bug.
I got bit by the travel bug, and I really just wanted to continue experiencing other cultures and just seeing more of the world. And I was really working to see how I was going to make that happen for myself. So I ended up finding this, I was scrolling through Facebook one day and I ran across this Forbes article, and it was about these two women who had made money while they were traveling. And I remember I saw like the headline, like they made this amount of money while traveling for a year. And I scrolled past it, and then I was like, wait a second, what is this? And I scrolled back, and it was the Bucket List Bombshells, and their story, the beginning of their story really just sounded like they were describing my life. Like they had graduated from school and they started these jobs, and they didn't really feel passionate about what they were doing, and they just weren't, they didn't feel like they were living their true purpose. So they kind of booked one-way tickets to Mexico, and they ended up figuring out how to work online. And I was immediately, it was just that moment, there was so much clarity. I was like, that is what I want to do. That's what I want to do right now. So the next task was for me to figure out what exactly I was going to do, because I had just spent 4 years of my life learning how to create theater. And that was pretty much all I had done for the past 4 years. That was all of the professional experience I had, or really any of the experience I had. Even before college, I was in the performing arts. So basically my entire life has been centered around the performing arts up until this point. And so I just started exploring different things that I thought would interest me. I went down a lot of different roads, like graphic design and illustrating and freelance writing. And I also signed up for the Bucket List Bombshells tech skills course because my previous career, it was very similar to like what a virtual assistant would do. It was a lot of organizing and making schedules and making sure everybody was in the right place at the right time. So I thought that taking the tech skills course would be a good road for me. And I ended up settling on wanting to do digital marketing, because I like how marketing has a lot of analytics and strategy, but you also have the opportunity to be creative, and you have to have an eye for graphics. You have to be an excellent writer. And I really felt like that was what was missing from my life. was that ability to be the creator. I was the manager all the time, and I was never the maker. So that was what I felt like I needed in my life. So I ended up settling on digital marketing, and I just compiled as many resources as I possibly could to get as good at that subject as I could get. And I just, every single second that I was not at work, I was learning, and I was teaching myself another skill related to digital marketing. And I was even trying to find some clients, because again, I was not doing that well financially. So I needed to work every single opportunity that I got. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I finished, so theater works in contracts. So my contract with the opera company was 2 months. By the time I finished that 2 months, I had taught myself a significant amount in digital marketing. And I also had a couple of social media management clients that I had found on freelancing platforms. And I still didn't have like any savings or a credit card or anything. So I needed to take one more contract in order to save up some money so that I could actually start the traveling portion of my digital nomad life. And so I went back to Cleveland and I got a stagehand job at a theater company that I had been working at through college. And I moved in with my friend and her mom, and I slept on an air mattress on the floor of her bedroom. And every morning at 5 a.m., I would wake up and I would go to a cafe and I would work on my business for about 4 hours. Then at 10 a.m., I would drive to the theater and I would work a matinee and an evening show. And then I would get out of work around 11 p.m., get back to my friend's house around midnight, and then I would collapse on her air mattress, and then I would get up the next morning, and I would do it all over again. So that was my life for
a couple of
months. Okay. And then once I finished that contract, I took my business completely full-time. And then I eventually moved to Bali. So
yeah, you booked a runway ticket to Bali, and then the rest is history.
The rest is history.
That's when it got exciting. Wow. Okay. So from the time you started, I'm going to ask like a couple specific questions about that whole process, because first of all, that's amazing what you created for yourself in such a short amount of time. So that was a 5-month time frame that from when you started your business. I'm just trying to like get the order correct.
Yeah. So it was June of last year, June 2017. Okay. That was when I started learning about marketing. Mm-hmm. And then my opera contract ended the first week of August, I think. Mm-hmm. And by then I had a client load and I had some freelancing stuff going on.
Okay.
And then I started working. I actually had like a month of not working in theater between that. I started working in Cleveland in September. And then by November, I was finished with my theater job. I completely quit my theater job in November.
Wow. June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah. So about like six-ish months. Wow. That's amazing. That's that's really impressive. I feel like, I mean, completely going full time on your own in 6 months. That's incredible. To kind of give everyone a play-by-play of what exactly you mean when you bought the tech skills course from the Bucket List Bombshells. And if you guys don't know who the Bucket List Bombshells are, they're basically these two girls that run their own business by helping other millennial women start their own service-based businesses, correct? That's what they do. Okay. So they offer online courses that basically teach you how to start your own online service-based business. So you bought their tech skills course. What exactly does that mean? Like how were you able to break that down and get clients from that? And then can you also kind of tell us how you got your initial clients? Like what exactly you did?
Okay. Yeah. So the tech skills course, that was actually the first step that I took in my like self-education process. And basically what it teaches you is it's all the technical skills. Like this is how you schedule social media posts. This is how you set up a landing page on lead pages. This is how you set up a WordPress website. And it's all just like literally like how, it's not like the creative side. It's like literally just like the skeleton of how you do these things. Mm-hmm. And then I paired that with digital marketing courses that I took on Skillshare and HubSpot and lynda.com. Those skills taught me like marketing strategy and writing and like kind of a little bit of graphic design. So I paired that with the logistical side, like tech skill stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And then what did you start to do to get clients?
Yeah. So what I did is I just kind of set up a profile on a freelancing site, a couple of freelancing sites. Mm-hmm. So I really had a lot of success on Fiverr. And I also got really into Upwork, and it was a little bit tough once I transitioned from freelancer to business owner to get people off of those platforms, because Upwork and Fiverr, they find the clients for you, but you have to work with them only through that platform. Mm-hmm. And the platform actually takes about 20% of your earnings. So eventually you want to be, I'm a big believer in, you don't want to build on rented territory. If you're going to build a business or even a freelancing game, then you have to have a plan to kind of get it into your own space. So I wanted to be invoicing my own clients individually, and I wanted them to be finding me on my own website. And as I transitioned towards that, I actually had to, it was actually a process to get the clients I currently had off of the platform onto my own situation.
You wanted to get your clients from having them find you through a third party website to just being able to work with you like directly without having to go through another website.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's like the goal, is you want your clients to be your own clients type thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's really helpful. So basically you found someone who was able to help you develop your skills and figure out what skills you could have to pitch to other people. You set up your freelancing profile on different third-party freelancing websites, and you started to gain your initial clients, making extra money. And then from there, did you get like referrals from that? Or what was the process that was able to take you full time?
Yeah. So once I most of my clients would come to me for small jobs, and mm-hmm. then I would, after, if we worked together on the initial projects, they would want to have a more long-standing relationship with me, and then they would refer their friends to me, which is also why I felt the need to start creating a website for myself and a social media for my business, because once the referrals started coming in, I wanted to have my own space that they could send the referrals to. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. So you got, no, that's good. So obviously that means that you are a good worker, like, because you got referrals from your initial clients. So that's how you were able to take it full time.
Yeah. Anything that I lacked in skills or knowledge in the beginning, I made up with the fact that I was a very, very hard worker. Mm. And I do credit my experience as a stage manager, because I'm really, really grateful that I trained to become a stage manager, because it taught me how to work really, really hard and really, really diligently. And it also taught me how to be an excellent collaborator, which is really, really important with client work. When you work with a client, you are collaborating with that person. You are essentially equals. So I credit that. I credit my stage management experience.
I love that. Pulling skills from other jobs or pulling lessons to use for
your
future. Yeah.
It also made me very organized, which helped me balance a full-time job plus a side hustle plus building my business.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If you were not organized, like, I can't even imagine. You wouldn't be where you are. I mean,
I don't know how people start businesses when they're not organized.
Yeah, that's so stressful. I can't even, that would just stress me out way too much. I'm really curious, what was the hardest part of starting your business up in the early days?
I think the hardest, my biggest obstacle was honestly myself. So it was really the confidence, because I didn't have any kind of experience in digital marketing. I also never really had an actual job. Like, I've never had like a desk job, or so there's so little going for me on paper. So I had to really figure out how to build that confidence in myself. Also, digital marketing is a ever-changing field. It's like social media platforms are constantly making updates, and the internet changes every single day. So you're trying to learn this new skill, but you're also trying to keep up with it. So yeah. That's pretty challenging.
Wow, I love that. That was an amazing answer, that the hardest obstacle is yourself, because I feel like so many people don't take the plunge on doing whatever they want to do because they feel like they're underqualified, not prepared, not skilled enough.
I just
feel like if people had a little bit more belief in themselves. I was listening to this podcast, I think it was Tony Robbins or Lewis House podcast, I think, and basically the girl he had on was saying that if people just had a little bit more belief in themselves, imagine how different, you know, this world would be. And imagine if people didn't listen to their fear and everything like that, because it's so easy to always just think that you're never going to be ready and everything like that. But clearly you're an example of just feeling the fear, doing it anyways, and just seeing what happens. And
the only way to be ready is just to do it. And put something out there and let it evolve over time and mature over time. So the business I have now is very different from the business that I started in June. Okay,
so explain how it's evolved a little bit, or evolved, I'm curious.
Okay, yeah, so once I got to Bali, that was the first time that I ever like connected with other entrepreneurs like in person. Like they're, I don't know if you can relate, like they're in Facebook groups and like you're maybe like sliding into the DMs with a few people. But when I got to Bali, that was the first time that like I really was like meeting other entrepreneurs in person. And that like, that just, that really shapes you as a person and as a business owner and as a whole, when you connect with other entrepreneurs. Like it is so, so important to cultivate a community when you're starting a business. I don't regret, like life is too short for regrets and like going back and saying, but like, I wish I would have done that a little bit earlier. But yeah. So when I started connecting with people that I met in Bali, what it did for me was really solidify who I was interested in serving. Cause up until that point, my business was sort of about a paycheck, which that's okay. Like if you're, it's okay to start a business literally because you want to make money without having to get a job. Because a lot of people need to set themselves free before they can really start to come into their own and come into their own purpose. Like they need to like break the chains first. So So I once I figured out who I really wanted to serve, which was basically the people that I was meeting in Bali, the really like passion driven, fire in their belly type of people who were interested in building these lives for themselves that were just like totally custom designed and totally like in line with the lifestyle they wanted, but also they were really interested in the impact they were going to make in the world, and they were really passionate about their businesses and their purpose. And so I basically like I deem them they're inspired entrepreneurs. Like those are the people that I want to serve. And I also realized that I wanted to work with startups, because when you're trying to figure out who you can serve the best, the best thing you can do is usually turn around and see who's a few steps behind you and figure out how you can pull them up to your level. So I was like, I can really help startups. I can really help people get their business off the ground, and I can help them start thinking strategically about their marketing. I also declared my niche is sales funnels. Like if I can teach startups sales funnels, I can get them to be really thinking strategically and holistically about their marketing strategy. And not just your sales funnel isn't just your marketing, it's your entire business. It's the series of offers that you present to somebody, and then they go on a journey. They go on a journey through those offers. So it really shapes your entire business if you start thinking about sales funnels early on. So I wanted to help people do that. And that from that point, that's where my business started to really take shape and become what I have now.
Wow, I love that. I didn't know all of that, like how it's gotten to Bali. That's so cool to hear. And that I'm glad that you brought up that point about how you, first of all, you started with whoever you could get because honestly you wanted money, which there's nothing wrong with that because you can't have a business without having money. It's just facts. But then you really started figuring out who you want to serve. And Crystal was talking about that in our last episode, that she was basically saying, get super clear on your ideal client. And if for anyone who's listening, like I think this can go in a variety of ways, like whether you want to start a business and like target people, or whether you want to have a certain type of remote job or do a certain freelancing things, like just getting very clear on exactly either what you want or who you want to serve. It changes so much because, I mean, it's just like the law of attraction, and it will help clear up your marketing strategy and your marketing message so much more and make your work a lot more enjoyable because you're, you know, having people that you want to work with and they want to work with you too. So I'm really glad that you brought up that point because I totally agree. Okay, so if someone is listening, and first of all, you just said you're coming up on a year of your business, which is amazing. And that just makes me happy because you're welcome. Because like I said, we're both 23 and it's really cool because I just keep going back to the fact that both of us are from Ohio. We're both 23 and we've kind of like are proving to other people our age, maybe from like a small Midwest town or whatever, that, you know what, this is possible. Like, it's not, nothing's out of reach for you. You know, you can do anything that you set your mind to, but what if there's someone listening and they still feel like, well, that's great for them. Cool. I'm glad they were able to do it, but I don't think it's possible for me. What would you kind of say to that person to help get their mindset in the right place?
Oh gosh. I would say like, I have a theater degree. So that's the first thing. Yeah. Here. I have a theater degree, period. I would say don't let other people define you. I think, because I got really hung up on that too. And even like a lot of people in my life, very well-meaning, they were like, well, you don't have any training in digital marketing. You don't have any experience. I've literally never had an actual job outside of my own business where I did what I do now. I've never had a real job. Like,
I love it.
Yeah. So, but I didn't let that get into my head. I was like, yeah, okay. I don't have what society deems as the credentials to do this, but who says I'm not capable of it? Who says I'm not capable of doing it well? So I guess just don't listen. Don't listen to anybody. Just go with what you want in your gut. And if you don't know what it is yet, that's fine. Pick something and try it. And just move forward. Don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to the critics. And just be absolutely relentless in pursuing some sort of purpose, some sort of just pursuing what's going to bring you joy in your life. Mm-hmm.
I think that is so important because people are very quick to tell you their opinions, and they're very quick to, I don't know, try to, I don't know. Like, it's interesting coming back to Ohio after like being out, and your mind is open to all the possibilities, and you recognize or you see what other people are doing, and you're like, wow, really the sky is the limit. And it is hard being around people who don't really understand that. And it's like, on one hand, you don't know what you don't know. So it's not necessarily people's fault if they're telling you like, well, how are you going to do that? That's not possible, blah, blah, blah. Because it's more so just like them thinking that it's not possible for themselves, right? And they're just kind of like projecting that onto you. But on the other hand, like, it's really easy to like give into that and be like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not cut out for this or whatever. And I get really passionate about that, like what you just said, because, you know, if you were to listen to the people that, you know, tried to help you or tried to hold you back, even if it was out of love, like, you wouldn't have been able to go overseas, right?
Absolutely. I probably wouldn't. I also wouldn't have gone overseas because everybody was so terrified of the idea of me going to Indonesia, like, by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I was really excited about it. And I got to the point where I didn't, because I bought the ticket several months before leaving. Mm. And I got to the point where I didn't want to talk about it with anybody. Mm. I didn't want to tell people about it because everybody was like, so horrified. And it was like, I felt like I was defending this thing that I had worked so hard for. Mm-hmm. And I was like trying to justify why I was doing it. And I literally did not want to talk about it.
I literally felt the exact same way. Like, I didn't want to tell people I was going to Asia because people looked at me like I was insane. Like, if you could just see what I see, like, But I was the same way. Like, I didn't want to talk about it with anyone because it's almost like you just have to do it and then people will understand.
You can't tell them, just show them.
Yeah, just show them. Yeah. No, I think that's perfect. And if you're listening and you have people telling you that maybe it's not possible for you, just it is possible for you, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because yes, you can. That's the moral of the story. You can.
You can.
Yeah. To switch gears a little bit and talk about the meaning of freedom, I always ask people this, and I get really excited about what people have to say. So basically, if this is your first episode that you're listening to, I always ask my guests what their meaning of freedom is, because I'm really passionate about the concept of freedom, and I love, love, love hearing what other people have to say, because it's always so different, but it's always a really cool perspective. What does freedom mean to you first? And then also, has your current lifestyle, what you're living now, has it changed the way that you view freedom from the way you used to view it?
Yeah, so freedom to me has two parts. The first part is like having the freedom to choose how I spend every single day, from like the time that I wake up to the kind of things that I work on. Like if I, maybe one day I feel really inspired to write and I write a whole bunch of blog posts one day. And then the next day I like, you know, I feel like just kind of like doing like mindless tech work or like planning. And then some days maybe I don't feel like working at all. Maybe I want to like explore the city I'm in. So that is like a very simple day-to-day part of freedom for me. And then in a deeper, more meaningful way, freedom is getting to choose the legacy and the impact that I have on the world. Like I realize that I'm very good at sales funnels, and I really want to help people with sales funnels. So I don't have to go out and try to find a job and let somebody else give me permission to help other people build sales funnels. I can just put up a website, build a course, take on some clients, and do it myself. So I get to decide when and how I use my talents and the impact that I have on other people.
I want to ask you about what you just said about permission. So you said you're not waiting for someone else to go out and give you permission to do this. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I guess in that sense, I was sort of talking about like, I wasn't going to wait around to get a job. Like even as simple as when I decided I wanted to do digital marketing, I didn't try to get someone to hire me. I didn't go look for internships or jobs. I taught myself digital marketing and I started doing it. So it's as simple as, you know, not waiting to be hired or waiting somebody else deeming you capable of it. But also just, it can also go into like, don't ask your mom, don't ask your friends for like their validation of what you're doing. If they don't support you, then just don't talk about it with them. And
wow.
Just give yourself permission to do it.
So. Wow. Do you think a lot of people feel maybe incapable, or that they'll never be expert enough maybe to do it on their own?
Yeah, I've even struggled with that. Mm-hmm. I think most people feel incapable. Even like I was listening to this audio docu-series about Oprah Winfrey, and she says like, I have doubts and fears. Even Adele, like, she projectile vomits before she goes on stage. So, like, she gets really nervous about performing, and
well,
she's Adele.
That's
so, like,
hilarious.
That never got the way. No one's ever gonna feel totally confident about what they do. Nobody's ever gonna really truly be an expert. I feel like I wake up every day as a beginner, and I sit down to do my work, and I learn every single day, because every client is different, every blog post is different, everything I do is different from what I did before. Mm-hmm. So embrace that.
Yeah. I feel like once I finally understood that, it's so freeing, because you don't have to hold yourself to perfection. You can just say, you know what, I don't have it all figured out, and I'm probably never going to have it all figured out, but neither does anyone else, you know? So it's like, I feel like it's just freeing, like, it, and it makes it okay to like go ahead and say, you know what, look, I can go out and I can do this for myself, not because I'm perfect, but because, you know, I'm brave enough to try, and because I'm brave enough to show up every day and go out and do it. And that's all it takes. And so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I totally agree. And I want more people to understand that. Yeah. Just give yourself permission to go ahead and do it, and you'll figure it out as you go. So I love that. That was good. Yes. Okay. So kind of along the same lines, if there was one other thing maybe, or one thing that you wish people our age would just get? If you like think about it, you're like, oh man, like I just really wish people would understand this because this drives me crazy. What would that be?
Okay, yeah. I love this. I love that you asked this question. I actually thought about my answer. Okay. And for me, I wish people our age would just get that failure is not only a part of the process and an inevitable, it is such a beautiful thing. It's an opportunity. Because I think up until this point, we've been in school. And failure, I think in school, failure comes with severe consequences. You fail a class, you get an F on a paper, you fail a test. There's consequences that come with that. And I guess in the real world, failure does have consequences, but it's not like that. I think once I got into the real world and I failed at things, I was like, oh, wait, like, it's not game over. It's not like you get an F on this paper and it's over. I pick myself up, I learn from it. And I try again, and I do better this time. And that is, like, such a beautiful thing. I think about the past year, and I have fallen on my face so many times, literally and figuratively. I'm very clumsy.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. I'm very clumsy. But every single time I fail, it turned into, like, a lesson, and even sometimes a turning point in my business. And every time I come out of it with information on what I can do better next time. And I think that is such an amazing thing because at this point I am who I am because of my failures, and I'm going to become who I'm going to become because of failures that have not yet happened. I love my failures. I mean, failure is good if you keep moving. It's a part of the whole growing process, and we need to embrace it as that.
I love that. Fran, that's so good. That's so good. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. Do you think that we've always been taught that failure is a bad thing?
We're punished for it. Mm-hmm. So I think we then grow up and we see it as a negative thing because we're punished for it. Mm-hmm. But we're humans. We're gonna fail. Mm-hmm. Like that's just a part of being a human being. Humans are not perfect. And we almost even, like everybody says humans are not perfect, and we say that as like something we have to accept. But if humans were perfect, the world would be so boring. Like I love that we're not perfect. I love that we make mistakes, and I love that like my path isn't linear, and I had to have setbacks in order to learn my lessons. And yeah.
Yeah.
But we see it as a negative thing. We absolutely do. We should not.
Right. I agree. And I felt the same way when I graduated college. And if you guys listened to my first episode and I talked about how I ended up having to move home my first year out of college, and I literally just felt like the biggest failure. And then kind of once I was coming out of that and looking back on my prior year, I actually sat down and wrote out a list of all of my failures. And then I was like, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this because it brought me to where I am now. And I feel like if you look at it from that mindset of like, you can't get to where you want to be, and you couldn't have gotten this far if you hadn't failed a bunch. So it's like, now I love failing because I'm like, well, I learned a way that I shouldn't do that. So I'm closer to figuring out the way I should do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost, you're almost closer to like your best self when you fail than when you succeed. Yeah. Like when you succeed, it's like, oh, great. But when you fail, it's like, oh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Getting there. Yeah. No, it's so true. I totally agree. Yeah. That was good. That was really good.
Thank you. I thought about that one.
I can tell. That was a great, I'm like, oh, that was a good answer. That was a good answer. Okay, cool. Oh my gosh. I feel like this time has flown by. Wow. Basically, if someone is listening to this and they love everything that you've had to say, where is the best way that they can connect with you?
Okay, so I have a relatively new Facebook group called Inspired Entrepreneurs, and I can give you the link to that. And I've actually been working the past couple of weeks on planning these little weekly mini trainings that I'm going to do inside my Facebook group. I'm also extremely active on Instagram. I'm a little bit addicted. @FrancescaManlin is my handle. And
I love my website. Okay.
And my website is francescamanlin.com. So those are the three main places.
Okay, so Facebook group, Instagram, and website, and I'll link those all in the show notes. So click on the link to our Facebook group or message her on Instagram, slide into her DMs, then you can totally.
Yeah. I will answer those DMs.
Yes, she will. I can vouch for her. Fran is like so generous with her time and with her knowledge, and she would be more than happy to talk to you guys. So do not hesitate to reach out to her. This time has seriously flown by, and that was so good. I love talking to you. Wow.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on this podcast. I'm like really obsessed with this podcast. Like every episode, like honestly makes me tear up. It's so awesome to hear. I love hearing about women, especially young women, just like taking a hold of life and making something out of it.
I agree. So awesome. I agree. I think, and that was like why I wanted to do it, because I just think that it all starts with mindset and it all starts with belief in yourself. And I'm like, I want every woman to know that it's possible. Like there's no competition. There's enough space for everyone. And I want to give as many different examples as possible. So yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Maybe just to end on this, if you could maybe give like one final piece of advice before we close out, what would that, maybe just like a little snippet or something. What would you say?
In the words of Nike, just do it. Like literally, like just do it. Whatever it is you're thinking, like I know if you're listening and you have like something in your head right now that just popped into your head when I said, just do it. Like literally just do, don't make a plan. We'll make a plan. Make like a pretty solid plan. Like do the first step. Do it.
That's my last piece of advice. I love it. You'll regret it in a year if you don't, I promise you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree. All right. Thank you so much, Fran. This has been so much fun, and I'm glad we got to connect again and talk more. You're awesome.
Me too. I'll see you when I'm back in Ohio.
I can't wait. We're going to go to Cedar Point together, I think.
Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
I love Cedar Point.
I love Cedar Point. Ohio, I don't even know the word for it. Ohio-isms.
Yeah, there's people in America don't know what Cedar Point is. And then obviously like there's people around the world that don't know what Cedar Point is. And I'm like, no.
I can understand around the world, but like in America, Cedar Point is the number one roller coaster place. So come on.
Yeah. That was my high school senior trip was
That's hilarious. You know you're from Ohio when you went to Cedar Point or to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for your class trip.
Yep.
We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh my gosh. So funny. All right. Well, have fun. Fran's in Bangkok right now, and she's coming back to Ohio. So everyone wish her luck as she comes back to the States for the first time. In
30-hour journey.
The worst. And then jet lag is awful.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But coming back is harder than because the time is just so much weirder when you come back to the States.
It is. Yeah. When I came back, I was like a zombie for like 3 days straight. I was so messed up. And then it started to get a little better, but it's still awful. But
my family's going to love that.
All right. Well, thank you again, Fran. And I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk soon.
And that is a wrap for this week. How awesome is Fran? Can we just give her some love really quick? Can you believe she's only 23 and everything that she's done? It is amazing. Fran, I love you. Thanks so much for coming on. As always, if you guys enjoyed this week's episode, don't hesitate to let me know. And you can head over to the gram, give me a follow, see where I'm at right now, what I'm doing. And yeah, feel free to send me a message or whatever. And I'm always happy to talk with you and answer your questions and get to know you better. So thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.